I'm just going to say a few words about the hindrances and working with the hindrances. So a little reading from Jon Kabat-Zinn, and Wherever You Go, There You Are, and his chapter on letting go. And so I'm kind of starting at the end of working with the hindrances. And he says, throughout this, towards the latter part of the piece, he says, letting go really refers to choosing to become transparent to the strong pull of our likes and dislikes. To be transparent requires that we allow fears and insecurities to play themselves out in the full field of awareness. To bring awareness and acceptance to the nitty-gritty of just how stuck we get. If we allow ourselves to recognize the lenses we so unconsciously between observer we put on, slip on so unconsciously between observer and observed that then filter and color bend and shape our view. So it is possible that if we bring attention to that, that the letting go can happen. And that's the basic instruction with all of this. So a few little pointers then. I'm going to be saying things you already know, but I don't know about you, I always find it helpful to review again and again. One of the best simple questions I use for myself with working with the hindrances is to ask myself, is there a struggle? Is there a struggle? And where there's a struggle, chances are there's a hindrance present. We might not know what one it is, but is there a struggle? And that's noticing that there's a struggle will help us realize that we're not accepting whatever the present moment is offering. And in these challenging times, it's pretty difficult to be accepting. Always to remember that accepting never means that you're laying down and dying and not responding to the life that's here. In fact, you're very deeply responding. And acceptance is responding, it's just it's not reacting. It's responding to the life that's actually here rather than reacting out of our old conditioned ways. And at these challenging times dealing with COVID-19, it's really easy to be reactive. Have you noticed? I certainly have. Yeah. Yeah. And so sometimes I find just asking that question, is there a struggle, can just open me into some sweetness and some compassion for that struggle. And that alone can create the conditions for the letting go of the struggle. We don't actively let go, really. We rather cultivate conditions for letting be and letting go to show up. This is very important. If we're striving to let go, we're actually caught in aversion, one of the hindrances. So it's always about opening and cultivating the conditions for letting go. Joseph Goldstein uses the question, how's the attitude? And this is such a great question for noticing the wanting, not wanting mind. For noticing if there's craving and clinging after some kind of experience, if there's aversion, the not wanting of another experience. Sometimes, how's the attitude, I find, can also reveal other hindrances. especially the worry part of restlessness and worry. So how's the attitude? So how's the struggle? It's kind of a global question. And then perhaps a little more pointedly, how's the attitude for the first two hindrances, wanting, not wanting, and maybe others? Then a question that's come up for me that I found useful, and it's nice and simple, and you've heard me say it, how's the energy? And this points to the next two hindrances. So if I'm sensing that the mindfulness is impaired, or not, but I could just ask, how's the energy? How's the energy? And that might point to some sloth and torpor. It might point to some restlessness, which I can then open to. And then the next question that I found useful for, that I've kind of stumbled upon within my own practice, is the one for doubt. How's the faith? Or if you prefer, how's the trust? Or if you prefer, how's the confidence? But a question along those lines. Finding your own words with that. And then again, opening to that, if there's something coming up. So what do I mean by opening? And what's another simple way you can open? I think the simplest way is to remember rain, or if you prefer, even grain, with the G in front of the rain as the grounding point. So if we notice there's a struggle, that there's a problem with the attitude, if we notice there's something with the energy or with the faith, the trust, we can then ground into the body with the G of rain and go into the rain practice. So opening, recognizing. So that's that moment when we label it. Oh, here's doubt. Or here's restlessness, or here's wanting, not wanting, here's sloth and torpor, right? So that's that recognition where we label. Extremely important, but be careful. A label of recognition is not mindfulness. And this is something that I've really noticed in my own practice, but also Joseph Goldstein again talks about this really nicely, that we have to step into the acceptance piece, the allowing piece, the A of rain, for it to be truly mindful. We have to kind of say, hey, come on in, show me, let you be here. Years ago, I had a colleague, she'd say, okay, there you are. And she'd kind of whistle like she was whistling to a dog. Just show me, show me. So that's that real allowing, or if you prefer from the Buddhist mythology, the inviting Mara in for tea. So I see you, Mara, with the R of rain. We allow, we invite in for tea. And then we investigate, right? The eye of rain. Come up, come, Mara, come, sit down. Show me. Tell me all about it. And when we do that with the eye, as you're very familiar, you want to really feel it through the body. Sometimes it helps too to ask a question, what am I believing? Tara Brach uses that question a lot. I think it's very useful, but be careful you don't get lost in your head. Just keep coming back to the body. And with the eye of rain, the investigation, getting intimate with it, if you like that eye, really feel the suffering of it. And this is a challenge, right? To feel the discomfort, to feel the suffering. We do not get to letting be or letting go until we feel into the dukkha, if you like that word, that unsatisfactoriness, that unreliability of the experience, or the pain of it. And then the other piece as we investigate, and the body's so helpful here, is we feel the changing nature of the experience, of how it's moving. It's not stagnant. It's a process. And then that just beautifully feeds us into the end of rain. The end of rain that affirms the non-identification and other ends of rain are not always so, not my whole resume, not personal. And with not personal, here we're pointing to the understanding that it is conditioned. It is arising out of a whole universe of conditions and causes. Very important. And another way to express the end of rain to yourself, and then giving you all these options because different ones work for different people, is to affirm on naturally, or nature rolling on. Now, I think it's also important to remember the end of rain that can be nurture. I think any of those ends of rain are forms of nurturing of ourselves. And sometimes we can feel overwhelmed with the investigation and we'll need to just really give ourselves some compassion. And you know how to do this, hand to the heart, soothing touch, shift to some loving kindness, some self-compassion phrases. So that's a basic outline, yeah? So is there a struggle? How's the attitude? How's the energy? How's the faith or confidence? And you're using grain or rain to take a peek. Sometimes just that recognition and allowing is enough of conditions to lead to some ease. Sometimes we need to investigate, go farther. When a hindrance disappears, as important as noticing the presence of a hindrance, it's equally important to notice its absence, its removal, and appreciate it and enjoy it. So that's kind of the techie stuff around all that. And I'll just read a few poems that I think express some of this in that kind of more lyrical way, as you know I like to do. Okay. So here's a poem that I read yesterday and looked at in a different way than I'm using it today. And it fits with also how we're about to go into silence. And it's called Paradox of Noise. It is a paradox that we encounter so much internal noise when we first try to sit in silence. It is a paradox that experiencing pain releases pain. It is a paradox that keeping still can lead us so fully into life and being. So with that part there, this is that hindrances will show up when we sit in stillness. And when we open to them, we move into something quite beautiful if we allow ourselves to experience them. Then she goes on and she says, our minds do not like paradoxes. We want things to be clear so we can maintain our illusions of safety. Certainty breeds tremendous smugness. That belief that we can have certainty, really, right? It's just not so. This is an ever-changing world. I'm going to go down to the last paragraph. And she says, when we sit in stillness, we are profoundly active. Keeping silent, we hear the roar of existence. Through our willingness to be the one we are, we become one with everything. So the hindrances are part of this roar of existence, and especially during times like this, boy, the roar of existence during COVID-19. So we want to really open to that roar, hear it, feel it, use our rain grain, really know this is conditioned. It's impersonal. This is unreliable or imperfect, as all human life. And this is impermanent. It will move. And now to finish up with her second last paragraph. I'm sure she wouldn't appreciate that I read her poem this way. She says, "We each possess a deeper level of being, however, which loves paradox. It knows that summer is already growing like a seed in the depth of winter. It knows that the moment we are born, we begin to die. It knows that all of life shimmers in shades of becoming, that shadow and light are always together, the visible mingled with the invisible." So let's go deeper over the course of today and see what happens next. Dr.